This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Patrick Clancy's civil suit against Lindsay Clancy's providers is what we are talking about today. Not the criminal case that's going on. We are certainly covering that as well. But what about that civil case? What's going on there? And what's in there? What's in that suit? It's very interesting. We're going to break it down. And I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we do exactly that. January 23rd of 2023, Lindsay Clancy sat down for a scheduled appointment with her mental health provider. The appointment lasted 17 minutes. That number comes from a lawsuit her ex-husband filed. And according to that filing, it wasn't unusual. Her appointments that month all ran about 17 minutes. The next day, her three children were dead. Cora was 5, Dawson was 3, Callan was 8 months. Patrick Clancy is their father. And in January 26, almost 3 years after he buried his kids, his lawyers filed a wrongful death lawsuit in Norfolk Superior Court. Lindsay Clancy isn't named as a defendant. The people who treated her are. He filed on behalf of himself and the estates of his three children. An estate is the legal stand-in for someone who died. That makes Cora, Dawson, and Callan plaintiffs in their father's case. What sits inside that filing is a 4-month record of a woman asking for help and a detailed accusation about what happened when she asked. Somebody wants to compare this to Chris Watts and insert other case here. And there may be some that do have legitimate comparable angles. But comparing it to some of these is utterly insane. We'll make another video about that. But here's what happened here. Here's the details of this case before you just go, well, what about that one over there? Well, that's not this one. And here is this one. And here's why. Wrongful death works like this. A family member sues and claims that negligence caused a death. And negligence means care that fell below what a reasonable professional would deliver. A civil jury decides whether that claim is more likely true than not. Nobody goes to prison because a civil case is about responsibility and money. That standard is a lower bar than proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which prosecutors have to clear in a criminal courtroom. The difference matters because two cases about the same three children are moving through two different counties, and one of them will finish first. Patrick's suit names two providers and their employers. Dr. Jennifer Tufts is a psychiatrist at Aster Mental Health, and Lindsay first contacted her in September of 2022. Rebecca Jolotta is a psychiatrist nurse or psychiatric nurse practitioner at South Shore Health System, and she started treating Lindsay that November. Lindsay worked as a labor and delivery nurse at Massachusetts General Hospital. Callan, her youngest, was born in May of 22, and according to the filings, she spent roughly 4 months seeking psychiatric care before her children died. The complaint's language about the prescriptions is blunt. It says the providers misprescribed a bevy of diverse and powerful medications and added new drugs in an ad hoc manner. Ad hoc means without a plan. One drug isn't working, so another gets added. And then another, not exactly something anyone should be doing with prescription drugs, ever. And they know it. The exact count depends on the filing. The civil lawsuits say Lindsay was prescribed 9 psychiatric medications in the months before the killings, including 8 inside a 3-week stretch. Her criminal defense team puts the number at 13. The lawsuit also is describing what Lindsay was telling her providers while the prescriptions changed. She said repeatedly that she believed the medications themselves were causing her symptoms. Those symptoms included worsening insomnia, depression, and thoughts of ending it. The warnings came from the patient herself directly, and more than once, according to the filings. Her own complaint lays out what she did as she got sicker. She went to the emergency rooms, called crisis hotlines, admitted herself to hospitals. She took the medication she was prescribed and kept reporting her worsening symptoms. Patrick's complaint is specific about what should have happened next. It says the provider should have run tests to learn why Lindsay reacted badly to drugs like Zoloft and Prozac. Lab work would have shown whether her body was metabolizing the drugs, meaning breaking them down instead of letting them build up. The complaint states no lab work was done. And in mid-December of 22, Lindsay was admitted to a partial day program at Women and Infants Hospital in Rhode Island. A partial day program means a patient gets treatment during the day and sleeps at home. According to her suit, a psychiatrist there concluded she had no postpartum depression and ruled out bipolar disorder because there was no family history. Notes in her own file showed her sister had postpartum anxiety. At the end of December, she entered a program at McLean Hospital for patients with postpartum depression. She reported feeling detached and hopeless, according to her filings. Her suit says the program was staffed by a skeleton crew over the New Year's holiday, and it calls the care she received there grossly inadequate. After she was discharged, the lawsuit says her providers noted her poor mental state. The filings allege that adequate follow-up still never happened. And then January 23, she was back with Dr. Tufts. The suit says Tufts' own documentation described Lindsay's condition as deteriorating, a word that came out of the provider's file and not a lawyer's argument. Deteriorating. According to the complaint, on January 16th, Lindsay reported that caring for her baby felt forced. Her last appointment came on January 23rd, and it was a whole 17 minutes, like the others. Her children died on January 24th. The criminal trial is built for a long fight. The witness list runs past 180 names and testimony expected to stretch across 6 to 8 weeks. Jurors were taken to see the family's home in Duxbury. Two courtrooms are working on competing explanations for these same three deaths. In Plymouth Superior Court, prosecutors are trying Lindsay Clancy for first-degree murder in a trial that opened on July 27th. The state alleges she planned the killings. Prosecutors have suggested she didn't take her medications as prescribed, and they're questioning how severe her illness really was. You know, non-medical professionals questioning how serious it really was, because the evidence actually shows the real medical professionals never even bothered to really truly check. Lindsay admits she killed her children and argues that she can't be held criminally responsible because of the postpartum psychosis, which is the insanity defense. In Norfolk Superior Court, her ex-husband's filing argues the opposite chain of cause and effect. It says that with adequate care, it's more likely than not the children would still be alive today. The father of Cora, Dawson, and Callan put his name on that claim. He's suing the treatment system while the state prosecutes the patient. The same man stands at the center of both cases. Patrick was the prosecution's first witness at the criminal trial, and jurors heard the 911 call he made from that house. The plaintiff in Norfolk County spent 2 days in the witness stand in Plymouth. The two cases will touch. Legal analysts have told News Nation that a conviction could likely be used in the civil cases to challenge Lindsay's credibility if she testifies. An acquittal generally wouldn't come in at all because the standards of proof are so different. Whatever happens in Plymouth could shape what a Norfolk jury ever gets to hear. Lindsay filed her own malpractice suit, separate from Patrick's. Hers names 11 defendants in all, including 7 individual providers, plus McLean Hospital in Belmont and Women and Infants Hospital in Rhode Island. Her complaint says her insomnia after several antidepressants was a red flag for bipolar disorder that her providers failed to recognize. Her amended complaint pushes that argument even further. It says Lindsay kept reporting intrusive thoughts. Her providers, the filing argues, failed to recognize those thoughts as auditory hallucinations. Her complaint describes a male voice that ordered her to harm her children and herself. Her suit also puts a diagnosis on the record. After the killings, a Columbia University psychiatry professor evaluated Lindsay and diagnosed her with bipolar disorder. That evaluation found her symptoms first appeared in 2020 after her second child was born. Patrick's suit stays a little narrower, aimed at the two providers closest to Lindsay's final months and the systems they worked inside. Patrick and Lindsay divorced after the deaths, and he has since remarried. Lindsay survived January 24th with injuries that left her paralyzed from the waist down. Patrick has said publicly that he forgives her. He's also said the woman described by strangers was never the woman he knew. Lindsay was indicted for murder in September of 23 while she was still in the hospital. The employers named in the suits have answered with statements, not specifics, though. South Shore Health says it prioritizes patient safety and can't discuss the litigation. McLean says it can't comment on any specific patient and that it mourns the loss of the three children. Astor Mental Health didn't respond to the Boston Globe's request for comment. Every allegation in both lawsuits is exactly that, an allegation. Nothing has been proven in the civil cases, and the criminal case, Lindsay, is presumed innocent unless a jury decides otherwise. She admits to the crimes, but she says she's not responsible because of the postpartum psychosis. The timeline in Patrick's filing still ends the same way, with a 17-minute appointment on January 23rd and everything that followed on January 24th. The lawsuit argues those 2 days didn't have to be connected. Cora was 5, and her family remembered her as a girl who wanted to be a doctor and a mama when she grew up. She practiced by giving her baby brother checkups. Dawson, 3, had bold brown eyes, his father said, beamed with friendship. Callan was 8 months old and smiled constantly. He died 3 days after his brother and sister in his father's arms at Boston Children's Hospital. Patrick has said he'll always call that boy his little hero. What the world will call his mother really depends on who you talk to. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in there. We'll continue our conversation. There. If you want to follow the case, if you want access to the trial, all of the updates, all of the testimony, day by day, as it goes on. We got it for you on our podcast platform, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. The link is right there, the QR code on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube. Follow that. It'll take you to your favorite podcast player. Hit subscribe and take us with you. The car, at work, at the gym, walks, whatever you're doing. We do appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.